This is the United We Stand podcast from Bournemouth away, a trip down to the south coast from Manchester for the 5:30 kickoff for a must-win game. Must win because teams below Manchester United are picking up points. United have won one in six league games. And this podcast is brought to you in association with Improve Easy. Improve Easy are helping United fans across the country save money on their energy bills by installing home improvement measures such as free solar panels, free boilers and free insulation. All you need to do is text the word EASY to 60777 to see if you qualify. That's text the word EASY, E-A-S-Y, to 60777. Why not give it a go? You might be missing out.
So welcome to the United We Stand podcast. We're at Bournemouth away. We've arrived now. We're actually inside the stadium where there was a full pickup for everybody with tickets. It went very smoothly outside in terms of everything. Thoughts on your pickup? Is what I say? Thoughts on the pickup?
Really quick, on it, in and out in 2 minutes. Yeah,
What about the whole idea around that pickup?
I think it's a good idea. I think I was saying to Rick before, the United don't benefit from this. Like, they do it for the right reasons. And, basically making sure that the people who are going to go to the game
more often, tickets. I'm in favour of it.
You could argue for 100% collection every game.
I don't think you'd win it.
But you could argue it. Away especially. But, yeah. It's seamless. And, like, everybody that's in here...
We know every face in here, and it's not that early yet. But
that's what you get, really. Like, I remember Leicester a few years ago. It was one of the best atmospheres in years. Like you say, you know probably 80% of the faces already. It clearly works.
The only problem is, though, it doesn't... I think a lot of us in this got transfers. I didn't get in the ballot.
Same here.
I even got Palace in the ballot.
We got transfers, yeah.
But so there are a lot of transfers. Which I guess can do, but it's a shame that they're limited to 3 a year from those that we know.
Is that what it is?
I think that's why. But anyway, we've got transfers. Then there was a lot went back on this yesterday and the day before, which is where you two got because it was in someone's basket and managed to transfer it. We've got two. So it's working in terms of those who really, really want to go for this game. South Coast, Bournemouth away. Probably not going to work for Liverpool, though, is it?
And this is, well... To be honest with you, if I'm being honest, that whole loyalty pack thing needs redoing, because unless you're aged about 50 or something now, you've got no chance of being in it. And I think that people say, well, there's no perfect way of doing it, but I think if you took off the last 5 years, people who've applied for, say, 85-90% of games, you would find a way of doing a new loyalty pot. And I think it's ridiculous that they're going off 16 games about 20 years ago. That, Luke was either not born or wasn't, it's ridiculous.
I think it was half done in jest, but someone saying that they're going to take United to court over age discrimination in the loyalty pot, because now you can be in your 20s essentially and not been born when it was brought in or adapted. So it's like I'm being punished age discrimination, and I think it was done half in joke, but someone will do it.
When were you doing it? Because we haven't got the money for a lawyer.
There's a big problem with grounds like this as well, though. Like, no offence to Bournemouth, but kind of offence. Like, we need teams like Blackburn, Wigan, Sheffield Wednesday up, who will give you decent $3,000-$4,000 allocation. I always remember Steve Armstrong got it right. He used to say, like, give you one stand to the away team, because allocations like this just aren't good enough, especially when United come into town. Like, 1,700 is nowhere near.
We could go to Villa and demand the whole tent,
It should be a minimum of 3,000, and if your stadium only holds 10,000, then so be it. You have to give nearly halfway.
Yeah.
Should be a Premier League rule. And in Bournemouth now, I've seen someone on Sky the other day, they're building this big swanky training ground underneath. They've been in the Premier League years now.
Yeah.
I think what would be good, I think we've got, if they're going towards doing something that's going to benefit those who want to go every away. So we'll be at Brentford, Chelsea, Palace, Brighton, and now here. Those five games, if you're going to go to there, I think you need to be are one of the top choices. If there's only 3,000 tickets and there's 2,000 of you who do that, that's
agreed.
Great. If it's the other way around, some of you miss out, but at least we try.
Yeah.
What's happening is, but those who need transfers into, who go on our season ticket holders, season ticket holders who've been unwilling to give up their season tickets for so many years,
right.
And we've got lads in here now, I would imagine, that haven't got a season ticket because they've gone on someone else's for the last 15 years. There has to be a full amnesty on that, really, doesn't there?
Well, I think they do now. I think you can name, I know they did last year. I think they do amnesties quite regular now where you can swap the name. So I think you lose your sort of continuous service sort of thing. You go back to being red or whatever. But
I think if you
can
prove you've been in on that ticket for the last few years, maybe should start on silver or gold.
Yeah, there should be something.
There was that time where, like, they reckoned that like 3% of United season ticket holders were dead and like just passed down through the family and whatever. But when it comes to aways, it's a massive problem. But we're one of the few where demand and supply are so different.
It's become very, not even the days of queuing up at the ticket office with your token sheet, but even when you had to ring up and go through, it's a bit of a pain in the ass, wasn't it? And now it's a
literal,
you don't even have to put your credit card details in. It's a 30-second job.
You're so in. It's a lot easier.
A press apply, how many tickets? Click your card number, and
even I can do it.
It is so easy.
I do think that if they could create a new loyalty pack, and you know, you can never exclude anybody, but you can change things around to make it.
The thing is, there's no
bigger percentage.
There's never going to be. Where supply far outweighs demand. There's never going to be a perfect way, but United haven't got close to doing it the best way.
No, maybe we need to find some ideas and put it forward to the fans forum and just see what happens. Just going back, I don't know, did you hear did you listen to the Chelsea pod?
I did indeed,
I've not heard it yet.
Go on, tell us about the Vidic. Was it good, wasn't it?
He's fucking great, Vidic. Vidic is in my top five favourite players of all time, but Andy obviously had him on, and he's as cool as he ever was, and he nearly come to the game apparently.
It was a great podcast for the Chelsea game. It really needs listening to,
because best central defender the Premier League's ever seen.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
When I did the bleed red, white and black, he was in my centre half.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you not?
No.
And but like, seems an absolutely top bloke as well. Like, you'd have a pint with him.
You would do. Yeah, it needs listening to. Now, we're here today. We know that our season tickets are up for renewal in May. We've had a 5% increase this year, 5% increase last year. Because it was 12, 13 years without an increase, we've accepted it. Everything's gone up inflation-wise. Are you surprised to see the likes of Liverpool and City for the first time seemingly standing up against something? City in particular, I think they're 1984, have been very vocal about their increase based on something completely different, I think, to Liverpool's. City sort of like using the argument that their owners don't need it because they're the richest club ever in the world. Liverpool, I believe, objecting to 3%, which doesn't seem a great deal in these days. But when you've got no money, 3% of nothing is still going to be too far. What do you think about these protests? Do you think?
Well, they argued. I've seen apparently Liverpool fans took the banners off the cop, didn't they, the other night?
Yeah.
With Atalanta. And in City's case, I have less sympathy because they boasted about the money they got in at the start, and everything was brilliant and all that. And now, you know, this is what they're realising comes with it. It doesn't come without a price. If you put a banner up saying thank you Sheikh Mansour and all that shite that they did and all that, it's like, well, that's the person you bent over for. These are the consequences. But yeah, I mean, football clubs don't have to put prices up at all. You could go another 5 years and not put any up, right?
So I do find it hugely ironic that City fans with, you know, the owners that completely distorted the transfer market, that they're the originals paying 25 million for bang average players, which now is the equivalent of probably paying 75, bragged about how much money they do it, and then the minute the owners want a bit back, they suddenly start whinging. They've got,
I think it's more than the money back though, isn't it? And I think that one of the worries is we can see every time we come to a football ground, whereas it seemed to have been a lull over quite a few years.
Hello.
there seems now to be more to do with trying to cleanse us out.
Well,
the you mean with the price rises,
the long.
Well, no, I think what I'm talking about is the money, but also what can sing, what you can't sing, what people are finding offensive, what people aren't finding offensive.
I agree with that.
It's back. It's mirroring society in general. I mean, the COVID stuff, and I mean, it didn't last long, did it? Like, you've seen the power of football fans, because the product, if you want to call it, of watching football during COVID was appalling. It was a terror, and even worse now when you see the odd one on MUTV or something, you know, and they play. It looked absolutely terrible as a product, and fans had all the power, but they've lost it again. You know,
we have lost it again, but I think that's the thing about City. For me, what they're trying to do is, it isn't about trying to get some money, recoup them back, because City fans are right, but those people that did go all those years ago, the 3007, you know, the 14,000 season ticket holders that they had in year 2000 or whatever, their core, their base, they don't want them anymore, do they? Because they don't need them, because now there's a waiting list. Now that the people that are coming, and we saw how many tourists we see when we go there, they're going and spending £100+ in the shop.
And this is why United's least fan-friendly time was in the 90s, when Beckham made football like cool again and all that, and suddenly Old Trafford could hold 50-odd thousand and the 80,000 people wanted to go. Then suddenly they thought, well, we don't need the hardcore anymore. And only now, and United have been brilliant in the last couple of years, in fairness, towards a hardcore element, far more than they were in the 90s.
Like, you know, City used to get a lot of praise because they did Kids for the Queer, cheap tickets, give money to...
What United have been doing, actually.
And they give money to... they give free tickets to students, especially when they're at Main Road, near obviously universities. Well, that's because the ground was half empty every week. The minute, you know, they've only started filling it in the last 12, 18 months. A lot, I mean, like you say, when you go there before a derby, an hour before, you barely hear an English. You walk round an hour before, you barely hear an English accent, never mind a Mancunian one. But
well, it became everything that now, they called us for, which
don't need the local fan who rolls in at 2:55 after drinking in a pub nearby and doesn't buy a programme, doesn't buy a T-shirt in a megastore or whatever. And they've just gone down the route that they were always going to go down.
But it serves them right. It serves them right, because they were the most, like...
That's one of the early chippers. He's done very well that
yeah.
They're so moralistic, or they were for years, City fans, or all that shite about where the working class club in Manchester and all that. We all knew it was bollocks. Anybody that is around Manchester for years knew that, like, even during our most successful time, of course we're going to get a wider fan base, but City have now become always more United fans in Manchester than they were City. Now, City fans are suddenly crying because, well, they're getting that element that they've slagged off for years, and it'll happen to Newcastle when they start winning stuff as well. The other, like, their own arse fans.
We only have to look at, I mean, the biggest danger is we sit here maybe a bit complacent at the moment, going, yeah, it's been 5%, yeah, it's a bit tough. But actually, if you look at Fulham, look at Arsenal, look at the Tottenham, Fulham in particular, their highest priced tickets now are quite frightening. If the product is not, you know, we've gone down to Palace on a Monday night, club have been brilliant, put on coaches for the club fans, and not put it on for all of us, we'll still go our own way. But the fact of the matter is, somewhere, when you've got a chief executive or whatever you've got, they're going to go, hold on a minute, our product, our football team, is better than that Fulham are watching. They're getting £3,000 for a season ticket, we're getting 350 quid. They're not going to put up with it for long, are they?
And that's one of the things that worries me about us moving into a new stadium, is that everyone, you know, and you obviously talk emotionally about Old Trafford and the history, and, you know, we all got took to our first games there, took our kids there for their first games and that. But if we move into a Tottenham-style new stadium, well, not only would that diminish the experience, but who pays for that?
The packages become harder.
Yeah. And how are we going to start? I mean, I've seen that stand Fulham have been building for about 14 years.
The one with the rooftop pool.
Exactly that. I've seen that the other day. But, I mean, they're going to build a rooftop pool. I mean, how far away from the culture of English football can you get from building a swimming pool in a football?
Well, they could jump in the Thames from it as well.
Exactly. It's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
one
ground that doesn't need water.
Well, did you hear
we said it was easy coming in, Jimmy.
You can see the stewards running in.
Oh yeah, they're trying to find him. They've gone in there now.
On that Chelsea podcast, you said about, you know, Andy, the fanzine editor, and that's from Pierre. He was saying about behind the benches at Chelsea, they're charging thousands of pounds for those tickets, calling them bench tickets, and basically, like thousands of pounds a game, and it's like supposedly. It's there to get the experience, and the players will chat with you who've been on the bench or something like that. It's like £5,000 a ticket, and he's like, and Chelsea are, people slag him off, has been like the King's Road and all that, but they've got hardcore support.
Yeah.
Absolutely is.
City did it with that tunnel club, didn't they?
Exactly.
It's a bit different, isn't it? So just before we say the score on this. So you sat on the bench today. You've just paid £5,000 to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
And Ten Hag is deciding, he's just making his 60th minute substitution, and he's putting on McTominay. What do you say?
You see, McTominay, I can live with. What I would have said last week, when he put fucking Amrabat on for Garnacho or whatever, that defensive substitution.
It's a good job. Would you just say, hold on a minute, I've paid £5,000 here.
Exactly right.
Give me the board.
I would have made a less defensive substitution than that.
That's the thing. If at Liverpool, I'd have frog marched Garnacho back onto the pitch and we'd have won the game.
To be honest, Steve,
United should be paying me to sit on the bench.
I was asked about Ten Hag this week, and I think he has become that example. You know, you watch that TV show, and a lawyer gets up and like, this is the case for the defence, and you're like, oh, I agree with that, and this is the case for, and you're like, oh yeah, I agree with that. If you were pro Ten Hag, you can quite rightly say that when he came in, it was the biggest disaster ever, and he's done brilliantly. He got us in the Champions League, he won a cup, he got to another final in his first year. You can't ask for better than that. And when you think how bad it was at Ranier, you remember that Palace game? We lost 7 away league games and all that. And then this year, it still looks like we're going to be going back to Wembley for the final, hopefully, certainly after the semi-final. But then the other person gets up and like, do you know what though? We got beat at 7-0 at Liverpool last year. Yeah, we won the League Cup, but who did we beat to get there? This year's been a fucking disaster. But then you look at some of the football this year, has been amazing. That Liverpool game in the cup especially, incredible. And then Brentford a couple of weeks later was such a contradiction. Yeah. I don't even know how to analyse this season.
I think if you look at all the injuries we've had, I think if you look at the back four, how many times they've changed, I think if you look at everything
else,
I think he has to get another year for
with
me.
The new structure
and I've changed my mind about 10 million times this year. In the rationale, using, you know, cold light of day, you know what? I don't think he's done enough to lose it.
I think the one thing you would say is, like, in a stable structure, does he deserve a year in a stable structure? I do think there's a big thing of who is there to replace him. So unless there's a standout candidate who you think, yeah, this guy can be an elite manager or whatever. But, yeah, has he earned another one? It's a difficult one, because then you see some of the decisions and some of how open we are. And is the way we're playing is unsustainable. It is.
But then his subs won us a game at Liverpool in the cup as well. Like, he went.
Were they necessity though?
Your subs can be a lot better. You look at the quality of our bench. It's a lot easier in 99 to make good attacking substitutes when you've got Teddy Sheringham and Ollie on the bench.
Yeah.
So I could sit there all day and argue with myself and make a great argument for him.
I'm decisive on these things normally, but if someone said to me they wanted him sacked, I find it difficult to argue, but I absolutely would give him another year.
I said it. You know what? You got new owners, new people running the club, new chief executive, new director of football, new technical director. I think for a manager to survive that has got to be in a pretty strong position. Top four's pretty much gone. So if you don't win the
FA Cup, Tottenham have lost today. Yeah, it has pretty much gone. Yeah. Villa will lose tomorrow.
We're working out that even if we win everything, I think they only need three wins or something, one of them. So it's,
I think he showed enough last year. I love the way he dealt with the Ronaldo thing. Like, if you take on Ronaldo, that's a brave thing for a manager who's been in the job 3 or 4 months, 5 months to deal with. And he took him on, and he was absolutely right too, because Ronaldo, as much as I love him, was a disgrace at that point. Got rid of him. The Sancho thing he dealt with perfectly, having given Sancho a chance.
He won a cup.
We've maybe just become a good cup team at the moment, which is all United were under the early days of Fergie. And then a few good signings in the summer, like Matty says, a better structure. Then
you feel he needs something, either the cup or a very unlikely push and get top four. You feel he needs something at the end of the...
I think one more year, though. You give him another year.
Right, moving on to today. Right, quick score prediction.
3-2 United. Absolute chaos.
3-2 United. Yeah.
Bournemouth 45 shots, 23 corners, and we'll win 3-2.
We'll win 3-2. Luca, if you've got off the phone to your no-win, no-fee lawyer, loyalty pot. Lawyer, go on.
3-0 United.
3-0 United, okay.
Would you, Steve, you still have Vidic in defence, though, wouldn't you?
I'd play him now, yeah. Him and Kambali today. Without a doubt. All right, thanks very much. Right, so it's half time here and we're losing 2-1 somehow. Come on, why?
We should be losing by more, if I'm honest with you. We're absolutely shit.
Ollie,
I thought when we equalised we might kick on a bit, but then we went backwards. Only Bruno's running. Rashford stopped again. Mistakes at the back.
It's like we're becoming like a stuck record, aren't we? We know what's going wrong. We see what's going wrong. We state what's going wrong and nothing changes. Where are we going to... I don't know why. They're not a happy team, are they, today?
They never are they? You name your time, actually, apart from the FA Cup, when have you seen them being a happy team? We were just discussing this. When was the last...
Well, the Liverpool games were probably where we saw a little bit passion, effort, fight. But these league games have been terrible, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely dire. And the thing is, no one's even surprised anymore.
Oh no, it's almost like we've come here expecting to get little from the game, and anything that we do get would be a bonus. It shouldn't be like that, should it, come in here? Too much room for... All right, he slipped, but too much room for Solanke, too much room for the guy that scored.
Most telling thing for me is he slips. He's a young kid and not one of our players went up to him. Not one player went near him after it happened.
No, and he was clearly upset as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, and you'd expect them to all put an arm around him, and not one did.
No, I don't think the and that's where you'd some, you know, you would expect that of your captain, but you'd also expect that of the, you know, of his England centre half, sports him, or even a goalkeeper, just to sort of go, doesn't matter, you know, whatever it happens, shit happens, sort of thing. There's also the backing up, Dalot there. Giving him too much room on the right.
Don't start me on him.
And although the keeper's made a fantastic save later on, twice he's been beaten almost, on, if you like, across him, back on his boat and his near post again. Don't move his feet, does he?
They make mistakes. There's too many of them that do all right for most of the game and make individual errors too often.
But what's daft about that? Probably Garnacho will get blamed for both goals. Certainly one of them.
Yeah.
How many chances have we got to redeem Garnacho losing the ball before the ball's in the back of the net? And they always go back to the who's easiest scapegoat. Oh, it's your forward who's lost it. It's Hoyland that's, you know, passed it, knocked it down, and someone's lost it. It's no responsibility, is there? Back forward, back off every time and invite that shot. Nobody actually goes with somebody behind them.
The pattern today is Rashford doesn't chase it down or gives it away. It goes through our midfield quicker, and then there's a mistake in the back.
What do you think, Steve? What do you think?
I've said the same thing every time, and it just gets boring.
Do you think we'll win?
I think we have to score very soon after this. I think otherwise it's 3-1 tonight.
What do you think the problem is?
Back four, back off too far.
Who would you get rid of?
Harry Maguire.
Get rid of?
Yeah. Useless.
Not having that.
Maguire backs off every time. He doesn't get the ball. He learned how to pass through it. He stopped doing it. He's doing his floaty passes again. He backs off. We can say that the midfield are running through. Yes, they are. The midfield are for a notch. But your back four has to step up. What he does, it invites space. It invites them to fill the space. he never goes forward and takes the ball off the player running, doesn't move forward. There's no cohesion before between our midfield and the back four, because they create space by backing off, and the opposition are always filling that space, knocking it and having shots. It's why we have 30 odd shots against us every single game, because the back four do not step into that space to stop those shots. We're inviting it all the time, and then we're not learning. And that's where, for me, that error is. The errors go from those two centre-halves who are backing off constantly. And it's happened again when Maguire's come back in the side.
So are you Ten Hag in or out?
I think he's got to have another season. I think for the simple reason, the injuries this year have been horrific, and he's never really been able to play his first team. I think he did enough last year to get this year. And I think if we do get to an FA Cup final with the injuries we've had, I just think he does get a chance. I don't think he's lost the right to manage Manchester United, and I can't see anyone else who we'd bring in.
Right now there's a shortage of managers, and you look at who we're linked with and you see Southgate and
Potter.
You see Graham Potter and you think, well, that's not necessarily the right change. And also the structure above our managers has clearly not worked, and to get that right, rather than putting another one in too quick to this structure, built up to fail, sort the other stuff out first. If the ownership is now saying we need to change that structure and we admit it's not worked.
No, I totally agree. I think you've got to add into that. I'm pestering people, yes. People who know something about the game will ask you after the game. We're just saying,
you're right.
Do we get back into this?
Did we fall?
Absolutely. Do we make substitutions?
Absolutely not. By the way, that last week or whatever, everyone's been talking about that centre half being brilliant. He's one of the worst players I've ever seen.
He's shit. He's utter shit.
I think you can't. I don't think you can touch him that quick.
No, he didn't fall over though. He got turned inside out and then fell over. There's a difference.
Yeah, maybe. So on that score, if you were offered the chance to swap Solanke for Højlund.
No, I wouldn't, but I'd actually would have him as his backup.
Lately, well done, like an awesome
forward. He's a good player. He's always been a good player.
In January, any striker would have been better than no other striker. Like, even going back to chatting about, you'd be better off with someone a little bit better than...
What about Wout Weghorst?
Well, I was going to say, anyone better than that would have been worth having on a bench.
Right, okay.
It's not been very good though, has it?
No, it's been dreadful again. But we're not surprised by this, are we?
No, I just want the season to end, to be perfect honest. No one wants this season to carry on, do they?
Well, there's quite a few long trips.
And I would guess, if you offered half the people in the away end a Coventry versus Chelsea final, half the away end would take it. But would you take that?
No, I'm an optimist. And we'll win a cup final.
A Chelsea Coventry final now.
No, I wouldn't.
I've asked the wrong people. I'd take it right now.
Take a United Chelsea final.
It's definitely going to be one shot. It's not going to be United City.
All day long.
It's going to be one shot.
All day.
I don't think the bookies will back you on that. Get a bet on. Right. Are we getting back in this game?
No.
Are we getting back in this game?
Yeah, and then losing it again.
All right, okay. So, well, that's from half time. There's not a lot of confidence. We're on the south coast in the sunshine. But the football's really a second or even third at the moment. So it's 6 minutes of our time added on here at the Vitality Stadium, Bournemouth, and they've got a penalty in the 95th of the 96 minutes. And we've managed to go 1-0 down once, obviously, if you've seen 2-1, 2-2, and then capitulated again in time added on with a fifth penalty in three games, I think it is. Something like that. Olivier is checking it out. Not been good enough, though, have we?
We've not been good enough, mate, no. We really haven't. And someone's just come down the stairs then and said five penalties in three games we've given away. And it just doesn't surprise me.
No. They don't know how to defend, do they?
It's not going to overturn it, is it?
Well, they haven't done, has it?
Oh, it's a free kick. Edge of the box.
Oh, what are you with it?
They're going to score it, though,
aren't they? That was a cop out. Well, that person was talking rubbish, and it's four penalties.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he scored this either.
No, he wouldn't at all. He's very lucky to get that. Yeah.
it just seems like at the end of every season, we just seem to down tools, and it's like the players can't be arsed.
You're showing it on the big screen now, complete VAR. I didn't watch it. But it's that lack of ability to, I don't know, there was just, they just panicked then, didn't they? The ball was going back. They were just kicking the ball up in the air, doing anything. 97 minutes now, so I'm not sure.
Panic's the right word as well, isn't it? We do panic. Panic every time.
We're panicking. But I'm not convinced this isn't going to go in anyway. But no real moments of quality, though, as they're in the second half.
Nothing, mate, nothing. Even in the first half, let's be honest, I think it took 20 minutes for us to have a shot.
Well, you're going to take the first. Oh, the keeper's coming up. Oh, no, he's not.
United roll! Come on, United roll!
Well,
sit down, you nubbin.
So, Bournemouth, 98th minute now. No, 99th minute now. And he's got a corner off it. There you go.
He does the podcast. I've been on it a few times.
You have indeed. You know, when we're talking about this team, though, now, we'll see them go out against Coventry. It's Wembley, it's a big occasion. It should be too big for Coventry.
I haven't got a good feeling about it, mate, to be honest with you. I really haven't.
Nothing's assured, is it?
No, nothing.
Yeah, last kick of the game.
Fucking ball.
Well, let's see if we can. Oh, we've. This would be great if we did. So United are on the final attack. The referee's got his whistle in his mouth, but I don't think he's allowed to blow yet. Mason Mount on the ball, just in front of the United fans here. He's trying to get with the ball in. Dalot, Bruno, no one's putting the ball in. So again, lack of urgency. Complete lack of urgency. Going backwards. We're just trying to get a winner. And they've cleared it, and that's it. Final whistle's blown. United have blown another game 2-2. And as you can hear, there's some boos ringing out, and the United fans not staying behind to give any other players any encouragement for next week, shall we put it like that.
Why do we down tools at the end of every season? I just don't get it. It's like the last five games of the last five seasons, it just looks like we're down in tools.
Yeah.
And we always end up with Palace away, Brighton away, Bournemouth away. The same shit every season.
They just don't want to be there, do they, really?
Some of them. They just look like they're ready to go on holiday and just write the season off, but why?
Yeah.
There's still points to play for.
Yeah. Well, you'd think there would be a, you know, given Villa at Arsenal tomorrow, Tottenham got stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it is unlikely they could get fourth or fifth. But you had to get 3 points to
you had to get, yeah.
Toss the question.
Definitely.
Them,
I mean, after the last few results, you'd think today's the day that we get 3 points, get back on track. Like, but they just don't look interested. The United and they are going at the players now. The players look disappointed. The fans are disappointed.
Yeah.
It's quite sad to see, really. But
yeah, it's really. Who's the most disappointed out of that? Bournemouth or United?
Well, I don't know. Bournemouth, probably, I would say.
So this is the United We Stand podcast. I'm a United fan. Yeah. I thought that probably you had the better of us in that match. Would you agree?
I think so, yeah. It's close. Be fair, it wasn't one-way traffic, was it?
Well, you've done well this season. You've got another...
Well, 4 points off Man United, stuck down.
Well, stuffed us all. Can this manager take you a lot further?
I think the manager can, yeah, if we can keep hold of him. I think he's got the right idea. He plays attacking, vibrant football, and yeah, he never gives up. So,
is the key keeping Solanke for you?
Well, he's a key component at the moment, isn't he? But if he goes, he goes. Nobody's irreplaceable, but it would be a big loss.
He leads your line really well. He scored a nice first goal. I know the lad Kambali, our defender, slipped But in terms of, you didn't have any fear for United today, did you? I think it's almost like you expected to win.
I think so, yeah. I think our players went out there and, yeah, well they knew they could beat them. They've done it already this season. So, yeah, we attacked and, yeah, there's no sitting back and, you know, defending a one-goal lead, was there? No. It was all right.
All right, well, thanks very much for that. Take care.
Cheers.
All right, see you soon. Talking to a Bournemouth fan then, back with the United fans now. They really think they could have won it, should have won it. Didn't think they battered us, but, you know, what do you think?
To be honest, I thought second half we were the one who could have nicked it, to be honest. I thought the chances we had, the momentum we had, like, I feel like, barring the odd counter-attack, I thought most of the game was played in their half, to be honest.
Okay.
And, yeah, no, I thought on a different day we could have won that, to be honest, but...
We go again.
It's what it is.
It's very much is, yeah. Someone's just said got out of jail.
Well, I thought it was a 50-50 game. We're no better or no worse than that.
I mean, a point's enough. It's not even getting out of jail, a point. No,
but in all honesty, fucking people who criticise Bruno Fernandes, he is literally, by a stretch, the best player we've got when it comes to effort, to playing game after game. I thought he was brilliant again. We said it all the way through the game. He deserves better players around it. Rashford is a fucking disgrace. I mean, someone who is from Manchester and week after week is putting in what he's putting in, which is next to nothing. I mean, I thought we'd win 3-2 today. We could have lost 3-2. We could.
Yeah. We said it, didn't we, about 10 minutes ago. It's like any result here, you could see that's what we are. We're 50-50.
Close to being a penalty, wasn't it? And then it wouldn't have been surprised.
Well, I wasn't sure it was a foul, but then obviously it was outside the area, wasn't it?
That ref was looking to give them everything today.
It's just, I mean, you've got in the first half, you've got Casemiro been ran past about 15 times. He literally had Bruno running 40 yards beyond his midfield, going from number 10 to holding midfielder. He was the one who was getting the ball off. He was trying to do the job of three people. Casemiro just, they can't continue to play him.
We've
got issue like Haaland for me. He's a £7 million player. He's so far. The fact that we paid £72 million for him is just utterly ridiculous.
I do think he's young enough to be better.
He's young, but
traffic's going to be built up, and it's going to be a 30-minute delay.
Right, we're going to
have a delay.
30-minute delay.
From where?
Yeah.
So as we leave the stadium and we're on the coach, just setting off now, just getting away from the ground, in the background. Some reason the first song to come on, as you can hear it, what we'd give for Eric Cantona now, eh? Someone's coming, be a catalyst for a young team, be a catalyst for a team that wanted to play for the shirt, be a catalyst for a team to go on and win a trophy and play as we would play if we were good enough to play for the club. But it's not to be, and until we see what pre-season and mid-season or in the break between the seasons gives us. But usually when there's a big tournament on, like the Euros or World Cup, nothing much happens. No one much changes club, apart from the big names, and we're not in the market for them now. Today was the final nail in the coffin for any hope of top five, maybe even top six. Both West Ham and Newcastle leapfroggers. And so with only one thing to play for next week, the FA Cup, and that is probably going to be another final against the 1-1-5s. Let's hope it's not. Let's hope it's Chelsea. But the way we're playing at the moment, it might be a Coventry City final. Anyway, enjoy the week. It's not been as downbeat as some of the pods we've been to lately, i.e. Brentford and Chelsea. But I think that's because there's a sort of resigned resignation of fans that actually this is our level at the moment. Anyway, not even love will tear us apart. Have a good week.